Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. And on this week's show, we'll be talking with Lynn Leith of the DAISY Consortium.
Lynn's been involved with the DAISY format since the inception of this extremely accessible format. We'll learn how DAISY was started and where it might be going in the future. But first, to our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Lynn Leith.
The original concept was actually Laura's concept. He's a visually impaired chap, and he figured out there had to be a way for accessible reading material to be as easy to use for someone who's blind or visually impaired. And it was either Lars or Shell who first coined the analogy of reading books on tape to trying to read print on a roll of toilet paper. And voila, we have DAISY, which allows people to get to the middle of that roll of paper almost instantly.
And that is such a great analogy, especially for someone who's been through both types of media, to see the difference between using tapes, cassettes, etc., versus the digital formats we have these days with DAISY and the navigation capabilities. There's a tremendous difference.
Never mind when sometimes the tape would physically break and then you were completely sunk.
There was a busted book.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Lynn Leith. If you've been listening to Viewpoints for a while, you may remember her from show 1226, which was our mid-year special, in which she interviewed us. Well, for this show, we interviewed her.
Last time we talked, you sort of turned the tables on us and interviewed us. This time, I'm going to turn the table back and interview you. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, Lynn?
First of all, Nancy and Peter, thank you for having me on your program. I wanted to start by saying that at a conference in Zagreb, Croatia, in 2008, I was introduced as Mrs. DAISY, but usually I'm just called Lynn Leith. Although I've been involved with DAISY since the 1990s, for the past several years, I've been the editor-in-chief of the consortium's newsletter, The DAISY Planet. I also provide support for the DAISY Board of Directors.
Can you give a brief history of your involvement in accessibility issues before you came to the DAISY Consortium?
It all started in October 1979, when after a few years of being a stay-at-home mom, I started working for the library of the Canadian National Institute for the Blind as the recording studio supervisor. In the early 1980s, I became involved with the National Braille Association in the U.S., giving presentations on recording, pronunciation, and how to describe images in textbooks. I served a couple of terms on the NBA board as the chair of the tape recording committee. At CNIB, I later managed the three studios, Toronto, Winnipeg, and Montreal, as well as the duplication operation. And interestingly enough, I was also seconded to manage the Braille department for 9 months. Things were busy with responsibility for about 24 staff and more than 500 volunteers. But it got really interesting in April 1995 at a meeting to discuss the demise of tape and how to move forward to digital production. That meeting was attended by almost all, if not all, of the major libraries for the blind in the world. It was, if memory serves me right, the first time I saw a very early prototype of a DAISY player. And it was one of the most exciting moments in my career. I knew it was the answer to the problems with tape. I believed it then. And I still believe it to this day. In May 1996, the DAISY Consortium was formed, and it was a new era in information access. I started working with DAISY as a volunteer shortly after, and then I led the Canadian stream of the DAISY Player International Field Trials. That was with a Plextor early player. In 1999, the consortium hired me 50%, so I was half DAISY and half CNIB. I was the co-leader of the training and technical support work team. My partner in that endeavor was a chap by the name of Edmar Schut, who's from the Netherlands. I was involved in the establishment of requirements for and development of the consortium's first DAISY production tool and headed up the international testing and evaluation of that software. Things just evolved from there. I haven't looked back.
She talked about her time at the CNIB. That's the Canadian National Institute for the Blind.
are listening to Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic will cover first the DAISY format itself, and then the DAISY Consortium, which is responsible for defining standards for the DAISY format.
For those of our listeners who may not know, DAISY is an acronym. What does it stand for?
DAISY now stands for Digital Accessible Information System. But originally, in the 1990s, actually before that, because the whole concept existed in the late 80s in Sweden, it stood for Digital Audio Information System. So we moved from audio to accessible, so it's much more inclusive.
And can you describe what the DAISY format is currently? I gather this is also an evolving answer.
Yes, actually it is. DAISY is an open international standard for the creation and rendering of accessible content.
Can you just concisely define what makes a DAISY document, a DAISY document, as distinct from any other kind of document?
The navigation. The principal benefit is the navigation that is built into a DAISY book based on the standard. Depending upon how the book is made, it's possible to navigate through the book in any number of ways. And that's just not possible with a book in MP3, for example. With a DAISY book that's produced with full text as well as with audio, the navigation options are almost endless. And the search options, because you can, in a DAISY software player, search for a word and go to that word, which is pretty amazing, and then listen to it in the audio. The cream of the crop DAISY book is a DAISY book that is full text and full audio, or full text and then rendered with synthetic speech. As long as the audio is there, whether it's produced originally with the book or whether it's rendered with synthetic speech by a software program that the end user has.
So these days, DAISY encompasses text as well as audio and combinations and all kinds of things, right?
Yeah. In fact, now that synthetic speech has become so much better, it doesn't sound like a robot anymore, hasn't for a number of years. And also because synthetic speech for so many more languages is now available, a lot of organizations, particularly for ephemeral materials like magazines, are creating text-only DAISY books that are then rendered with synthetic speech. That's what Bookshare books have historically been. They're DAISY 3, which is XML, text only, and they can be rendered with synthetic speech. A lot of DAISY books that were added to libraries' collections around the world early on were converted from analog masters. And when you're converting from an analog master, obviously you do not have the text of the publication. You're working with the recorded audio. So the structure has to be added during the conversion process or post-conversion before it's published.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe a little bit about the conversion process?
It's been done in different ways in different places. Some places had setups with banks of open reel tapes feeding into computers. And it could be done at high speed. It could be done in real time. It could be done multiple tracks at one time. Other places where the resources were extremely limited and the masters were on cassette, not on open reel tape, would be converting from cassette tape to digital format.
So now DAISY has the ability to track by sentence, by paragraph, by chapter, whatever. How would they get that into something they had just converted off of a plain audio tape?
Okay, let me just say that not all DAISY books are created equal. A lot of books that were converted did not have particularly extensive navigation. One of the features, the sort of skip by phrase or by sentence, that can be done during the conversion process. So the pauses, and you could set the length of pause that was detected by the software, the pauses would be detected, and that would allow the end user to skip ahead by pause, by phrase, basically. And it could be set up so that it would be detected at, for example, a paragraph or a sentence. But some of the books that were converted from open reel tape were really not absolutely terrific at all. Some of them were much better.
And you'll notice that as you read Daisy books in whatever player you use, some of them don't navigate as easily as others. And that's the reason why, because the ones that don't navigate as well were converted from some old audio format. But as we get more and more newer Daisy books, you'll find the navigation to be excellent by phrase, by sentence, by word, etc.
If you start out with a random book that's in print and it's on paper and you walk into the studio and you have a person who's going to be reading the book out loud, and then you have a copy of the book on paper, how do you combine that into the Daisy book so that you have every word that's on the page coordinated with every spoken word so that you can do this kind of navigation?
Well, what a lot of organizations have done now is set up agreements or partnerships or relationships with publishers so that they have the electronic file, the text of the book to start with. Some organizations, Bookshare in the early days, for example, they were scanning all the books. The books were all scanned. That was how Bookshare came to be, was people were scanning books, and it seemed Joe over on the East Coast was scanning a book, somebody else in the Midwest was scanning the same books. So the idea of, okay, why are so many people scanning the same book? Let's make this a combined effort. When you get into the studio, if you have the text of the book, there are software programs that will allow you to produce Daisy books where the text file and the audio are combined during the production process. And one of the tools that's being developed by the Daisy Consortium right now is called Tobi, T-O-B-I. And exactly what it's designed for is to produce full text Daisy books with human recorded audio.
So does that invoke some speech recognition to coordinate which word is being spoken with which word is in the file?
Nope. That would be really great, actually. But with some tools, the linking of the text and the audio is done at the sentence rather than at the word. If it's done with synthetic speech, the linking could be done at the word level.
Right. That's almost automatic if
yes.
that happens.
Yeah.
I would guess if they're doing it with audio, there's probably someone standing by putting in marks as the reader is reading and syncing the audio with the text.
Yeah. So you've got a technician and a narrator working together.
Right.
She talked about Bookshare and how they traditionally created their books. Well, of course, it's 2012 and Bookshare has gotten a lot more up to date. And in fact, we did a show about Bookshare fairly recently, number 1230, if you want to hear what's new in Bookshare, where we talked to a couple of the people at Benetech about Bookshare's new features, and they incorporate many, many of the features of the Daisy books.
Well, in fact, what they're doing in one of their newer formats is to take their textbooks and use a very high-quality synthetic speech engine to convert it to audio, and then they convert that audio book to an audio Daisy formatted book based on the text. And that's really cool, because then you get to hear a higher-quality speech synthesizer than might be in your portable device. In general, you'll see that technology for the visually impaired lags behind whatever sighted folks have. So something new will be developed, and then it takes a few years for people to make it accessible for the visually impaired. But this Daisy and the ability to read books, I think we've actually been ahead of the curve this time around. I've had my little portable readers that were able to navigate by sentence, paragraph, chapter, section, etc., and put in bookmarks, search by word, etc., a long time before other folks had things like Nooks and Kindles to read on for sighted folks. So I think we were actually lucky this time around and actually led the technology.
Well, and I've got a Nook now, and I love being able to navigate and look up a word and check the meaning or whatever else I can do that the blind people have been able to do for years. But when I listen to audiobooks, I have an MP3 player, and except for the fact that it's smaller, the experience is pretty much like the old tape player days. I can't navigate by anything.
Well, that's true. And for CDs and other audio material you listen to, it's the same case. It's just serialized, just like the old tape days. So maybe someday you'll get there too.
I'm looking forward to it. So we've been talking about the Daisy format and what that is. Let's turn now to the Daisy Consortium and what they do. So what is the DAISY Consortium? Who's in it? What major organizations participate? And what does it as a body actually do?
The consortium was originally made up of 6 libraries for the blind. Our membership now totals about 100. Our membership is made up of members and friends. There are 2 types of members. Our members are all not-for-profit. And we have several types of friends, ranging from large for-profit companies to educational institutions and publishers to individual supporters. And the consortium's primary raison d'etre is standards development and maintenance for accessible information. We also provide support, information, tools, and training for our members. And actually, all of the tools developed in recent years by the consortium are open source and available to everyone at no cost.
So you've been with the DAISY Consortium since people started thinking about it, never mind when it first got started. Can you give us some of the highlights of the DAISY Consortium since those early days?
Initially, a lot of time and effort went into the development and implementation of a tool that would produce DAISY books. And in collaborative efforts with the first 2 DAISY friends, the for-profit companies VisuAid, which is now Humanware, and PlexTalk, to get DAISY players to the market so that people could read the books being produced. There was a time when we were really dealing with the chicken and egg scenario. How can we develop players when there are no books to test them with? How can we produce books when there are no players out there for people to read them? A lot has changed since then. The consortium has grown many times over in terms of membership, staff numbers, in terms of scope and reach. Truly, truly international. Our membership covers every continent, I believe. We don't have anybody in Antarctica, I don't think. We've been through several versions of the DAISY standards, and in more recent times have been very much involved in the development of the EPUB 3 standard. Also, the DAISY was also involved in EPUB 2, which is how accessibility features were built into EPUB 2.
Can you tell us who some of the key players in the DAISY Consortium have been over the years?
Some of the most amazing people have been involved with DAISY over the years. Ingar Beckman Hirschfield, who is considered by some to be the mother of DAISY, was our first president. She was with TPB in Sweden, and she was one of the key people, perhaps the key person at that meeting in 1995. 3 men from Sweden, Lars Sonnebo, Kjell Hansen, and Jan Lindholm, are looked upon by some as the fathers of DAISY. Since Ingar, we've had 2 presidents, Elsbeth Tank from Denmark, Hiroshi Kawamura from Japan. Hiroshi was one of the original founding members of the consortium. He was at that meeting in Toronto as well. Our current president, as of January 1st this year, Stephen King, is with RNIB in the UK. He too was involved in the actual formation of the consortium. Once you're in it, it kind of grabs you and keeps you forever. If you look at the makeup of the key members and people in the DAISY Consortium, and then look at IFLA, International Federation of Library Associations, section of persons with print disabilities, you'll find an amazing crossover. There's an historical connection between IFLA and DAISY. There's one other person who has played an incredible role in the evolution of the consortium, and that's George Kircher, our Secretary General. George has other position titles, including president of the International Digital Publishing Forum, which owns the EPUB standard. He has an honorary PhD and knows just about everything there is to know about information access. He's a true advocate for accessible information and for information being accessible to all.
Lynn mentioned a couple of organizations, and if you're interested in more information about them, that would be the International Federation of Library Associations and Institutions, and their website is www.ifla.org. And the other major organization she mentioned was the International Digital Publishing Forum at www.idpf.org. And of course, the DAISY Consortium, which is at www.daisy.org. Now for this week's high-tech item, where we can expect DAISY to go in the future.
It's kind of interesting how you think of DAISY as having been around forever because it's so ubiquitous, but in fact, it's really quite young.
Last May, we just had our 15th anniversary. It was a wonderful, wonderful celebration.
It's great, everything you've achieved so far. What plans does the DAISY Consortium have for the future?
Well, one of the things I've mentioned briefly is EPUB 3. And I guess that's one of the prime things in the consortium's plan for the future. We'll still have a DAISY standard, and officially it will be known as, this is a mouthful, NISO Z39.98-2012, Authoring and Interchange Framework for Adaptive XML Publishing. That is a mouthful. But we'll call it DAISY AI, which is a lot easier.
And so, what does that mean for our listeners?
The current DAISY standard is also an ISO standard, by the way, DAISY 3. DAISY AI will be the standard for accessible content creation. EPUB 3, for many of our members, will primarily be a distribution standard. So you'll author in DAISY AI and distribute, potentially, if you want to, EPUB 3. Or you could still distribute DAISY, depending upon what your end users want and need. The DAISY Consortium will advocate for EPUB 3 content that is fully accessible. But if information is to become accessible to everyone, accessible information needs to move into the mainstream, and EPUB 3 is a mainstream publishing standard. Also, in terms of the future, the consortium is involved in efforts to bring about a WIPO, World Intellectual Property Organization, treaty, addressing copyright limitations and exceptions for people who are blind or have a print disability.
That sounds like one of your big barriers in some sense is these copyright issues between countries. How big of an issue is that? Do you see it getting resolved?
It is a huge issue. And in May 2009, the WBU, World Blind Union, formally tabled the treaty proposal. We're still working on it, but resolution hasn't yet been reached. There is hope that a decision in support of a binding treaty that addresses copyright limitations and exceptions will be reached this year. DAISY Consortium has a lead role in the TIGER project. TIGER, T-I-G-A-R, stands for Trusted Intermediary Global Accessible Resources, which started out as the Global Accessible Library Project, a joint project between DAISY and IFLA. So this is a pilot project, a collective initiative, again with WIPO. The key point in this is that an international treaty that allows for the cross-border exchange of accessible information would make a huge, huge difference to people in the world.
It's unfortunate that these copyright issues have been such a quagmire around the world, but I guess slowly things have been evolving over the past few decades, and it looks like still more work needs to be done. But it was a change in the copyright laws in probably the 90s or so that made Bookshare possible. Before that, it wasn't possible for people to legally scan in books and share them with other people. So we're getting there, but it sounds like there's still some work to do.
Well, and besides the copyright laws, the publishers have been getting much more, not just cooperative, but proactive in terms of assisting the print-impaired community in having access to their materials.
Well, that's true. And many of the publishers are actually working in cooperative ventures with organizations like Bookshare and others to get their books directly into an electronic and accessible format.
What other initiatives is the DAISY Consortium involved in?
I mentioned earlier a tool called Toby. Development of open source that enable the production of DAISY is important for the consortium still. Now, that release of Toby supporting EPUB 3 will be out later this year. The other thing is that Toby will support the production of diagram descriptions within the accessible content. And I don't think there's another tool out there that does that right now. We have a couple of other major tools. The DAISY Pipeline, which is a content transformation tool, moves content from one format into another format. We now have Pipeline 2 under development, and it supports EPUB 3 output. So the three key tools we've got happening right now are Toby, as I mentioned, OBI, which is a DAISY 3 production tool for structure and audio DAISY books. It doesn't support full text, but it's extremely simple to use. And both OBI and Toby are accessible to people who are visually impaired. So you can be a visually impaired technician using those tools to produce DAISY books. And we also, of course, have the pipeline. All of them are on our website.
So all of those things are presumably free to someone who's producing a book or wants to put a DAISY or EPUB type material together.
Yes. Well, Toby will produce EPUB. And another program that DAISY's been involved with is Save as DAISY for Microsoft Word. So you can take a Word file that is properly structured and output a DAISY book.
So if the Microsoft Word file has headings and paragraphs and
that will automatically be
converted properly into a DAISY.
Yeah. If you use the styles, and I believe there are DAISY styles right in there, you can output a DAISY book.
All of this talk about what's coming down the pipeline from DAISY in the future raises a question that you basically asked us when you were interviewing us for a show a couple months ago. So we're going to turn it around and ask you. The DAISY Consortium vision states, and I quote, "The DAISY Consortium envisions a world where people with print disabilities have equal access to information and knowledge without delay or additional expense." Now that you're bringing all of these new and exciting tools to the mainstream publishing world, assuming this is successful, how do you think this might change the world?
If all published content is accessible, world changes completely. It will put everyone everywhere on a much more equal playing field in terms of personal and professional opportunities and growth. If we go back in time, probably just a couple of centuries, information and knowledge were by and large accessible only to the very wealthy. If we look back 25 or 50 years ago, things had improved, but still most people in developing countries didn't have access to the information they needed for education, personal development, or enjoyment. This is still true in developing countries today. And even in developed countries, not everything that's published is available, particularly in the education environment, for people who have a disability. The Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities brings us closer to information equity for all, but we're not there yet. New technologies are moving us closer as well. All the information published on the internet, most of that can be accessed now by people who have the technologies to get at it. But if all published information is accessible from the get-go, when it comes out from the publisher, the world will be a different place for people unable to read standard print and some electronic publications. It'll change everything.
Wow. Well, thank you so much to DAISY for making that happen. And thank you to you for this wonderful interview.
It's been fun, Nancy and Peter. Thank you so much for having me on your show. And if people may very well have questions about DAISY, and I hope that I've relayed all of the information accurately, but please go to the DAISY website, www.daisy.org, note.org, not.com. Pretty well everything you want to know about DAISY is there. And our newsletters are all there as well.
And as usual, if you've missed any information or links or contact information, we'll have them in the show notes associated with this show. Just go to our website, www.viewpointsplus.net.
That's it for show number 1235. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll talk with vendors about products that were shown at the 2012 International Conference of the Association for Education and Rehabilitation of the Blind and Visually Impaired. Hear what's new in CCTVs from HIMSS and APH, specialty corrective lenses from Chadwick Optical, and accessible laboratory equipment from Independence Science. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy in partnership with WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.